Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon. Got Evan on the board, and I am joined in studio by Hawk Sullivan, proprietor of three neighborhood bars here in Madison. Hawk, how you doing?
I'm like short. What? Like, oh my God, this studio. What is it? Okay, wait. I was trying to go up. I'm good. You know, I'm so much better looking than Brian. Come on.
Oh, I mean, let's not discount Brian's look. That man.
I mean, hey, your gaze right now at me is.
He's paid by Hollywood to go and,
and
look at cameras, though. So Brian's got the look.
Brian will tell you all the stories.
Yeah. I forget what night it was. It was like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. I think it was on Sunday. And Brian and I are, you know, we talk a lot about not only this show, but the work that we do here at the stations. And he goes, and so it's not atypical for us to talk and text back and forth at weird hours throughout the week
about weird stuff.
Yeah, it's not always work related stuff. We're buddies too off the air, and which is the whole reason why Crudy kind of threw us on the airs.
And you're still friends.
We enjoy talking to each other.
That's good.
And he's texting me and he goes, "This might be the peak of my career right now. If you turn on Ion, he's like, it's my episode of Chicago Fire.
And he's on it for like a second.
He's on it." But then also, a recent ad that he did for, I believe, AARP also aired in the hour. And Brian was like, this is great for me.
Wait, is he? Well, how old is Brian? How was it AARP? Like,
he's not old.
That's how much they manipulate. Everybody out there, they manipulate us.
They want you to join early.
Yeah.
They don't want just the 55 that and up. They want you at 45 now, or 40, or
how about they start giving us Medicare at 45? You know, then I would join AARP.
That'd be
a good thing,
that
right?
That would be a perfect thing.
Biden could do it right now. Tomorrow, he could sign a thing saying Medicare. He could just change age.
He could.
If he wanted to.
He could.
If people out there wanted to.
See, we go down a little bit of a tangent here, even when we got a guest like Hawk Sullivan.
That's okay. I like the tangents. My wife says that all the time. She's like, what are you talking about? I don't know. It popped into my head.
We don't frown at that here. So appreciate you coming to the studio, Hawk.
Thanks for having me. It's very nice. You get to see the traffic go by.
Yeah.
Windows.
I love the windows here at the new studio. I thought this was going to be your first time, but you told me you'd already been here.
I have been here to drop something off.
Yeah,
but
that
was
it.
Evan locked me out, by the way. He came running out. I was going to leave the poster from the last live show, and then he came running out. Hey, what's up, dude? Anyway, but no, I have not been inside. It's very nice. Got your little sign door here. Very cool.
We're going to have you sign that before you leave. But no, we were here on University Avenue in the Solidarity Realty Studios. We've been thrilled to move in. But
your show is great, by the way. I'm not trying to plug you guys, but for those who don't listen, I really love your guys' passion. When you guys listen to your show, I can tell in your voice, Luke, that these things bother you personally. Yeah. And that when people talk about like, oh, it's not, you know, I don't like to get political. Anybody who says it's probably an older white guy, like an older white straight guy is a guy saying, oh, I don't like to get political. Yeah, because it doesn't affect you. So that's why you don't like to get political. But you can tell that these things affect you and you're a white straight guy. And like that's important because we're the ones who nothing happens to, right? Frankly, you know, and so like if you're passionate about something, it means you're an empathetic person who cares about, you know, other people in the world.
Yeah, my parents raised me to, you know, empathy.
Good job, empathy. Luke's parents.
Thanks, Margaret.
Gold star.
Yeah, we're gonna give them a shout out tonight. I mean, Brian and I, it's an interesting concept because we didn't know how it was gonna work when we got started, and he's not here to share his two cents on it. But it was kind of like, what? We got an hour to fill. What are we gonna do? What do we want to talk about?
He probably compared to some Hollywood movie that like he probably used an analogy
like the,
from that.
The B-rate movie.
All of
Brian, Brian's a really, really big fan of like the little tiny independent project films. And I'll be like, oh, I've never seen that before. Thinking like it's a big film that I'm supposed to know.
No.
And it's like a very tiny production and you can only stream it on YouTube.
Yeah, right.
And that's the only
and
place
I'm in
you
it
can
for
find
5 seconds.
Not even ones that he's in, though. It'll just be like, Brian has the most obscure references, which helped us kind of be able to be like, well, I like to talk about a lot of different things. I don't want to talk about one specific thing. And then we go down tangents.
I think people like it. They don't want to hear just politics. I mean, although I was listening to you, I do listen to you quite often. And I was listening to the conversation about Sarah dropping out. And I have a little different take, but
yeah.
To be full disclosure, about my take on it is that I had backed Mandela from day one.
I was going to say, from when he announced.
Yeah, from day one, I thought he was the best all-around candidate, you know, who hits a lot of the marks. And people got to get over this 100% purity test because it's just getting in your way. Do me and Mandela agree on everything? Absolutely not. There's no way, you know. So he's been my guy the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, I've donated to him and, like, you know, I've set up events for him and stuff, or helped set up events. But that being said, I get people's frustration a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit I do. But you have to understand there's a bigger thing going on here. And as soon as people did start, even when Tom dropped out, you know, like, things started turning. And frankly, I do think the voters have spoken. He's consistently hit that poll number, okay? And I understand the polls are a little off.
Chucky,
I understand.
Chucky Franklin over at Marquette, you know, but he overpolls Republicans.
I know, but I'm saying, but that's good then, because that means he's getting Republican support, right? Like Feingold used to get, right? Yeah. And Tom gets in his valley, right? Tom talks about in the valley, he gets good Republican, he gets a third Republican vote, right?
Yeah.
So my point is this. I think that his consistency, and he hasn't made any mess ups, right? He hasn't screwed up. Nothing weird has come out about him. Skeletons haven't fallen out of the closet.
He accidentally said Scott Walker instead of Ron Johnson once this week, and the RPW.
You know,
no, that's my reaction.
Freudian slip.
I don't know. RPW was like literally, they were like, we got something.
Mentally,
we got something.
Yeah, we got something.
He finally slipped up, and it was.
He wore a tan suit one time.
Yeah.
Like Obama, yeah.
I was just saying, that's the thing, is you get the littlest tiny things get blown out of proportion sometimes.
And it hasn't happened with him.
Yeah.
He's run a very clean, consistent campaign. I mean, like I said, full disclosure, he's my guy, but I think he's run a good campaign. And I think that it shows, and I think the polling shows that, like, he's consistently there. And I think that when you see, listen, it's not like these other politicians, they get something for getting out, by the way. It's not like they just, like, dip out. Like, they have conversations about what they can do for him and what they, you know, what kind of help, what kind of position I can get you if I, you know, but things happen behind closed doors.
I don't think Lazary's going to work for Mandela in D.C.
But Lazary's a business person who, you know, you scratch it back the right way. I'm not saying Mandela's like that. I'm just saying, like, senators are like that, right? You scratch it back the right way, and maybe he'll vote on the next project that Lazary needs. You know what I mean? Like, so it's not like all these people get something.
There's always something after the election that was coming up on the 9th.
Correct.
And I understand that aspect. And again, manipulative isn't the word I want to use. We had a texter text it in, and I don't think that that's the proper. And I'm trying to find out.
I don't have a big enough vocabulary to find a word that describes the feeling
we're talking
of some
about
of the
out
people
the
out
air.
There.
Yeah.
You know, I get it. But listen, I think a better analogy is the Biden situation, not the Hillary thing.
Yeah.
The Hillary Bernie thing was, I definitely think, was a Democratic Party kind of screwy,
it was the Democratic Party
sketchy,
finding out who it was, though,
okay.
Because there were voters that wanted something else other than Clinton.
No.
And so, yeah, I agree.
I agree. And I'm a Bernie
analogy guy,
you know, back then. But, okay, so, but I think the Biden one was a better analogy of people seeing kind of the writing on the wall and being like, you know what, the bigger picture here is to get rid of that person. Now, I would say this, from a political strategist point of view, what happens is Mandela gets a bunch of votes, right? A ton of votes now, instead of just a little split, you know? And the backing happens, and Ron Johnson starts getting scared.
Well, he's already raised it. In between the 24 hours after Lazary dropping out and endorsing him, the Mandela Barnes campaign reported $250,000 in donations.
This is the other part of it, okay?
Yeah.
The other part of it is the money part. In the last 2 weeks before the primary, there's a lot of money being pumped in, and people will stop giving that money to the other candidates and funnel it towards Mandela. Sadly, me too. I shouldn't have given him any money. What the heck? He's already the nominee. I should have waited. Anyway.
That's what I'm saying. What is it all for, then?
No,
if it all of a sudden just
I mean, listen,
came
if
out?
You ask me, there shouldn't be all his money in anyhow, but that's the way it is. You got to play the game. I don't like the game. The game is, frankly, somewhat rigged to rich people, and a lot rigged to the rich people. So, you know, vote people in who will ask your person, say, what's the number one thing? They should say the number one issue is campaign finance reform, gerrymandering.
Those should be the two things. Without those two things, campaign finance reform and gerrymandering.
Yep, without those two things getting fixed, we will continue to have a corrupt.
Yeah, we're gonna see the maps that got implemented in Wisconsin after this last cycle are gonna be around for a decade now. We're gonna see the same maps that we have unless some things drastically change.
Talk to your uncle. I'm sorry, but if you have an uncle or a friend who's a Republican, I'm sorry, they need to pay a price for not saying anything. You can't just keep on coddling your Republican uncles and your Republican friends. I'm sorry. It's just enough is enough. Like, your Republican uncle and friends, the ones you call quote-unquote friends, literally are okay with a raped girl at 10 years old having to have a kid. They're okay with it.
There was a U.S. House of Representative member, Republican, that voted against codifying same-sex marriage into federal law and then went to his son's wedding.
Oh, yeah.
And his son was gay.
Yeah.
Went to his son's wedding days later after that
Disgusting.
Vote. Disgusting. I don't know how you do that.
You cut him off. I'm sorry, but you cut off your Republican friends and your Republican relatives. If they don't pay a price for being okay with this stuff, then they're going to continue to do it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but like, they just need to go back in their basement and get on the internet and talk to their, you know, friends. But I mean,
I try to have the conversation. I don't know if cutting off is necessarily, I believe a penalty needs to be paid.
So you need to have a conversation with them.
Yeah.
And if they say, oh God, I'm against that, that's horrible, say, oh yeah, what are you doing about it?
There you go.
Are you calling your representative and saying, listen, I'm a Republican, I'm a conservative, but that is just over the line. Okay. Have you done that? They're going to say no. And you say, well, then you're okay with it then.
Yeah.
Because you're literally
not doing anything about it to hold their elected officials accountable for it.
Correct.
Then, yes, they are condoning the actions.
Correct. And progressives the same way. If you're a progressive and you're sitting there whining about this or whining about that and you haven't called your or wrote a letter or email, you are in the same boat. I'm sorry, but you can sit here and you can cry about all the climate change stuff and all this stuff. But if you're just sitting there talking to your friends about it, that's doing absolutely nothing. It is doing nothing. Have you donated $10? Have you donated $10?
Some of those campaigns aren't even asked for $10 now.
$10.
They didn't ask for $2, $3, $4. Yeah.
Have you donated $10? Can I tell you something? This, I always say, oh, have you donated money? They're like, no. I'm like, well, then why would they do anything for you? No offense, but like, your vote, frankly, isn't what gets them elected.
They will keep contacting you nonstop. Even after a $5, $10 donation, they know that you've given and they want to hear from you then. They're like, you will get contacted relentlessly by campaigns.
$10.
$10, but that gives you the ability to interact with those campaigns, and like you said, the enthusiasm, the campaign interest for the Barnes campaign was there, at least from the best that we can tell through polls this entire year. He was the front runner this entire time, and so
Let me give you one more plug for Mandela, because I will say this: I've actually hung out with him socially, not like a lot. It's not like we're friends or anything, but I've been around him, and he is one of the most. I mean, I'm not just saying this like because he's my guy. He is I've never met someone kind of like down to earth, regular. Like, if you want someone who's like just been a regular person,
if lived you want a regular, somebody that's actually trying to address inflation,
he's not a multimillionaire. You know,
the number one issue for Wisconsin voters this fall is potentially going to be inflation. Mandela Barnes
understands that.
Trying to navigate inflation a whole lot better than Ron Johnson is.
Wait, one of the negative things about him is that he didn't pay his. Property tax or something like that? Something. Yeah, because he's broke. Like, he ain't got no money. You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, he's a regular average dude.
I forgot to pay parking tickets before. It happens to the best of us.
So I'm saying these are the kinds of people. You know, when Crudy asked me about, like, what I think about Lazio, I'm like, I just don't like, I'm very skeptical of rich people who want to be elected officials. I'm very skeptical of them.
Yeah.
Whoever they are, left or right.
Or at least starting all the way at the top like that.
Yeah, right. Going right for it.
Because nobody that's really well off wants to go run for state assembly. It's very.
Why are they doing it? Haven't you? Hasn't
they always want the
asked?
Top slot? They want governor. They want U.S. Senate. Well, why?
Why?
Why are you running for those?
Haven't you asked that question? And why will they do the most sketchy things to keep that job? You know what I'm saying? Why would they do that? Why would they do bend over backwards?
Well, Michaels is going to put his company in a blind trust, apparently.
Oh my God,
and,
whatever.
Still have
go back to wherever, New
road
Jersey?
Road contracts.
Where, his $17 million dollar mansion? 17 or?
15, I believe.
15 million.
Devil Radio has been kicking ass, earning every listener and providing our sponsors return on investment 3 years now on the Madison Airwaves. And there has never been a better time than right now to advertise with us and join the Devil Radio community. Our audience is loyal and growing every day. Active listeners that don't flip. Wonder if your ad dollars are working? Devil Radio listeners will tell you it works. Ad production is included. Devil Radio will make it easy for you to start seeing return on your investment. Call today.
Hi, I'm a pleasant voice reminding you to enable Devil Radio before playing Devil Radio.